Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brandon Lindell, Executive Ministry Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Today, we're continuing our series in the book of James called The Essentials. How many of you are thankful for the Word of God and thankful for this series, man? I've just so enjoyed it. And the reason it's called The Essentials is James is talking to us about what we need in our life as believers to have a vibrant faith, a vibrant life-filled walk with Jesus Christ that is real. And so what he does in the book of James is he gives us tests throughout the book. One of the first tests we saw is, do you have real faith? You know, and why would James give us tests? It's because human nature has the propensity to be self-deceived. To think, oh man, I think I'm a person of faith. James says, okay, well, why don't you take the test? Do you have real faith? Or another test is like, are you speaking life-giving words? Is there anything in your heart that would cause you, what's going on the inside that comes out on the outside and gives us a test to say, okay, what do my words look like? Do I have life-giving words? We talked recently about demonic wisdom versus heavenly wisdom. Is my life operating under demonic wisdom, the way the enemy would cause me to think, where I'm living out of bitterness or anger or different things? Am I living out of demonic wisdom or am I living out of heavenly wisdom? He gives us a test because tests are powerful for revealing where we're at. And today, he's giving us a test on whether or not we're friends with the world or friends with God. And so we're going to look at it in James chapter 4. It says this: what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is with no purpose that Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives us more grace? Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I want to speak to you for a few minutes from the subject, why am I at war? Why am I at war? Can we pray? Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on this place right now. Move through every campus, every mind, every heart. Let your word come alive. Let the conviction of the Holy Spirit rest on us, that we might, God, change. And in changing and turning to you, God, find life and grace, which I know is your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So as we look at this, James in James chapter 4 wants to help us answer three questions out of this passage. And the first one is this: why am I fighting? Why am I fighting? What's he say? What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? So first thing we notice is this "among you" phrase is, this is two believers, written to believers, and saying, why are you quarreling? Why are you fighting with people in your community that God has put you together to do life with? This isn't just a disagreement. You notice these are plural. What causes quarrels and what causes fights? What causes controversies in this word? What causes dissension? What causes the constant struggle and battle? This word fights, battles, causes you to be at war with people. What causes that? It's a great question to ask. Because if you're living life and you're just going and you're like, man, I don't really know why it's always like this for me, but you're at constant war in your relationships. You're constantly battling with people. You're constantly finding yourself tearing things apart relationally. And if you don't ask the question and you don't see it and you don't take the test, you could miss the fact that there is a root cause for what is happening in your life. James wants you to think about it. He wants to say, if this is you, if you're living in that place, then what is happening? Are you ruining your relationships? Why do you always need the last word? Why does your peace get stolen so often? Why does everything seem broken relationally for you? Because we can tend as humans to go, well, it's their fault, right? If I just didn't have that person in my life, I would be good, all right? Or Lord, if you just change this, then I would be good. Or God, if I was just in a different job, then I would be good. I wouldn't have to work with any of these people. It would be awesome and I would be good. It's something outside. But James says, no, that's why you're asking the question. Because if that's the state that you're constantly in, then look at what he says. What causes fights, quarrels, and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You're at war. This word passions, it speaks to this idea of one lust, sensual desire. And here's what the bottom line is. It's passions is this hedonism, this pursuit of pleasure, self-indulgence. James is saying, if you want to go back to the verse, that the reason you're at war is because there's a war on the inside. The reason you're at war is because your passions and desires are out of control. The reason you're at war is because you are about you. And the proof of that is, and maybe you've seen this in your life, and hopefully this question causes you to go, okay, why am I at war? Stop and think about it. Did you have problems before you relocated? Were you battling in your last marriage? Do you pick up out of community when things don't go your way? Do you lose your peace when you don't get the last word? Could it be that your desires are for you? Your desires are for the world and they're out of control. And it's causing you to live at war. And it's causing you war. What is war? What's the fallout of war? Death. You kill, he says, you desire and you do not have, so you murder. Brandon, I haven't murdered anybody. You've killed relationships. This is like the family who when a parent dies and the inheritance is being divided up, and they literally burn every relationship in their family over the smallest item in their parents' house. This is the marriage where your spouse isn't doing what you want and you burn your marriage for it. This is the person that says, I want me time. I gotta have my own time. And they're destroying their relationship with their kids out of a selfish desire to do what they want. murder. This is somebody who destroys all the relationships at their job because they didn't get the promotion that they felt they deserved. James is saying there are Christians doing that. This is you destroying your financial future because you're consumed with greed. This is you burning your marriage to the ground because you will not give up your pornography addiction. This is murdering your relationships. And among the church, James is saying it shouldn't happen. It shouldn't be that way. Oftentimes people are self-deceived and they do it in this spirit of self-deception that makes it sound holy. I just need to do what's wise for me. I'm just practicing self-care. You're destroying relationships over you. You become priority number one. What you want's become priority number one. And it's why you're at war. And it's why you have no peace. And it's why you have no spiritual power in your life. And James is saying, don't be deceived. What causes fights and quarrels among you? They come from the war that's happening on the inside of you. The desire, this word desire, obsessed, heart set on one lust. You can't think about anything else. Second question is, why isn't God fixing this? And that's a great question. And James says, actually, I think it's good that you asked that. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. What's he say? He says, you do not have because you do not ask. You don't ask. What does that mean? You're not praying. Oftentimes people stop praying if they know the thing that they want, the thing that's most important to them, the thing that they're fixed on, is something that God would never want for their life. And so they actually choose to put a distance between them and the Lord because they said, you know what? I know this is not something that honors the Lord, so I'm choosing to put that distance there. But when we cut ourselves off from prayer, we cut ourselves off from God's help. When we cut ourselves off from prayer, we cut ourselves off from the supernatural. Prayer is our connection with an almighty God who loves us and is for us and is with us and wants to help us. And when we pray, we create the opportunity for us to interact with his spirit and get the mind of Christ and him to change and move our desires. And you'll never see that if you're not praying. You're frustrated and you need God to move, but you're not asking for his help. And if the desire is off, then God can come in and change and move your heart to where his will is, where you can see him work in your life again. But if you don't pray, you're on your own. That's why getting in his presence every single day is so important. That's why getting in the prayer meeting on Wednesday nights is so important, because you are getting in his presence and his presence moves you, moves your heart. People, when they become friends with the world, they're not doing it out of like this total rejection of God. They're doing it and saying, okay, can I do this and get away with it? And so if we're not spending time in the presence of the Lord because it's so subtle, we're not creating the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to push on our heart and move us and change us, to move us to a place of life. You're on your own. And be like, but you know, Brandon, I think I am praying. In fact, I'm angry and I'm praying and I'm talking to God a lot about this. Well, then let's see what James says. You are praying, but your motives are wrong. He said, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you might spend what you get on your pleasures. How do you know if your motives are wrong when you're praying? You know, motives are a funny thing because we can cloak our motives in spirituality. So if, for example, we can pray like, you know, Lord, I just really need this raise. And God, if you give it to me, I'm going to honor it. Lord, you should give it to me because I'm going to honor you with it. But are you honoring God right now? Because that's the question the Lord's gonna ask you. It sounds spiritual, but really it's just a prayer to say, God, give me what I want. Give me what I want. You know, another way that we can tell if our motives are right is we want someone else, we want God to do something solely so somebody else can serve us. God, I just need you to change their heart, Lord. Lord, you know I need this. God, I need you to change their hearts. But really, the key thing is not about right relationship. It's not about God using you in any way. It's about you being self-gratified. That happens a lot in marriages. God, would you just, I just need you to change my husband, Lord. Lord, you see how horrible he is to me. You know, blah, blah, blah. But it's a motive. It's not a caring prayer. It's funny when I said that, I see some people smiling, which is very fun. Lord, touch marriages in Jesus' name. Amen. Or Lord, Lord, just change my wife. Lord, change her. When you pray out of a self-serving motive, it blocks heaven from hearing you. That you can just spend. You ask what's wrong with it, is that you might spend what you get on your pleasures. You want something purely for the purpose of somebody else losing. God, I just really believe they need to be humbled, Lord. And I think if you do this in my life, it will show them. That sounds spiritual, but honestly, it's demonic. It doesn't honor God. And when you allow your motives and your desires to get out of whack, you are literally positioning yourself against God. Some of you are living there and it's a miserable place to live. There's no life in your walk with the Lord. There's no spiritual vitality for you. And you're like, is this really what Christianity is? And the answer is no. It's not what a walk with God's supposed to look like. But your desires are driving your life and you're asking God to get in the sidecar and say, God, do what I want, do it the way I want. And God says, no, I'm not gonna do that. He says, if you feel that, if you notice that your prayer, God, I'm coming to you over and over again, why won't you move? God's like, because your motives are wrong. And I'm not going to give you something that in the end will just damage your life. I love you too much to do that. Why isn't God fixing this? Look at what James says. You adulterous people. That's very strong language. What he's doing is he's pulling language that you see throughout Scripture in the Old Testament prophetic language. In the Old Testament, the Lord is seen as a husband to his people. And that carries on into the New Testament, where the church is called the bride of Christ. So what he's saying is he's using the most intimate of human relationships, a covenant relationship, to show us that when you become friends with the world, you're breaking covenant with God. It's like a marriage. And you know, here's how you think of adultery in marriage. People often say, well, nobody knows. It's not that big a deal. God just, you know what? Shouldn't I be happy? And that's exactly what James is creating this illustration to do, is to go, no, God knows this is gonna damage your life and it's damaging the relationships around you. And no, God loves you and God cares about taking care of you, but your personal happiness isn't his top priority. So if it falls out of line with what God would want for your life, if you say, well, I want it anyway, you've chosen to be a friend of the world and you become an enemy of God. Don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? To stand off from somebody, to step away, to make an enemy? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Look at that. Makes himself. Brandon, I had no choice. If you would have known what they did to me, then I have a right to be bitter. You know what? If you saw what they did, they took that from me. I deserve this. If you'd see how I treat them, then you would know they should treat me differently. Oh, you want to live that way? You want to say, my way, I deserve it, it's my way, I have a right. Then you just said, I want to be an enemy. Well, Brandon, I'm a believer. How could I be an enemy of God? It's because you chose to say, God, I know this is what your word says. I know your word says forgive. I know your word says humble yourself. I know your word says that I should consider others above myself. I know that your word says that I shouldn't harbor anger in my heart, but I am choosing because I am, in this particular instance, I am right. And God says, no, I'm the Lord of your life. And if you choose that, I'm gonna put you at arm's length. And some of you have positioned yourself that way and you're mad at God because it doesn't seem like God is helping you. It doesn't seem like God is working in your life. It doesn't seem like God is, you see any work of God in your life, you're heavy, you're bitter, you're broken. And you're saying, where is God in all of this? And he's saying, you moved yourself there and you're so stubborn that you won't move away. And until you say, I don't know. God, I can't do it. God, I want these things and they're not right. Until you do that, you have shut yourself off from the help of heaven. And then you live in the confusion because you cloak it in spirituality. And I'm not trying to be hard on anybody. I'm trying to help you see. It's a broken way to live. It's dead. And you're like, but I'm a Christian. As a Christian, James is saying, as a Christian, you can move yourself out of the blessing of God by saying, I'm choosing to elevate this desire, this passion, this thing I want. I'm choosing to elevate it above honoring the Lord. And when you do that, you break covenant. And God says, I love you too much. First of all, I'm not moving for you. And you need to know that. God is not gonna move to make you feel good about what doesn't honor him. But he also loves you too much for you just to ride without him saying, you know what? I'm actually going to remove my blessing from your life until you move. So the next question, what should I do if that's me? Maybe you're asking that question. Maybe you're sitting here. I just love that God is so gracious. He works all things together for the good. And he would bring you here in his grace to speak to you today. And to lead you to this question, what should I do if that's me? First of all, you need to recognize your state. That's why James says, you adulterous people. It's a strong phrase, it's strong language because it's meant to help you say, okay, that's me. And I need to recognize that. I'm not here because of somebody else. I'm not gonna blame somebody else and I'm not going to justify my position. Oh, it's okay if I'm here. I got a little love for the world. I got a little things that, I know God's not good at that, but you know, there's grace. No, recognize where you're at. God says, you're an enemy. I'm holding you at arm's length. When you say, okay, I'm done. God, I want what you want. God, I want your presence on my life. That's where the starting point is. Secondly, you need to repent. So verse 6 says this, he gives more grace. Oh, praise the Lord. He gives more grace. This is the first mention of grace in the book of James. I think it's so cool that we're in Palm Sunday, the week of to set up Easter Sunday, where the grace of God was manifest on the cross. Grace is so great. And you need it. If you're living in a place where you're like, man, I feel like heaven is shut and I feel like I'm far from God and I don't know what to do. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help people right now. God, I pray that you'd come touch people right now who are in that place, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that you would move in their heart. God, I pray that you'd soften their heart. Lord God, unless you change hearts, God, nothing changes for people. And God, we just ask that you do that right now, that the grace of God, Lord, would become so attractive to them, God, that they'd say, God, I can't do this anymore. Lord, some people in here, God, on every campus, they're at war. They're at war inside themselves, Lord. They're at war with you. They're at war with people, and it's destroying their life. And God, unless you move, unless you touch them, God, nothing will change. So Lord, I ask God that you would move right now, that you would help them, God, to see their need for grace, that grace is not an intangible, but God, grace is, God, a true, God, real thing that they can have, God, unmerited favor from God. The blessing of God is not something that we hope for, it's something we can have. Speak to them right now in Jesus' name. Amen. The reason I think that's important is because I would hate for you to walk through this message and just be like, oh man, James, he's really strong about that. It feels like, wow, it's tough. No, he really cares, and God cares. If you're living in a place where you're separated from him, he really cares about that. And he wants you to live in his grace. He wants you to have his blessing. But I'm telling you, you are locked out of that. Unless you change, unless you repent. What's repenting? It's turning. It's not saying, you know, I'm gonna try to do better. No, it's saying, God, I hate what you hate. And Lord, I see how my passions and desires have gotten out of line. And I'm sorry. And I'm gonna apologize to my wife, if I need to, my kids, if I need to. I'm gonna apologize to my boss if I need to. God, I will literally throw out my computer if I need to. If porn's an addiction for you and it's a passion that's out of control, say, God, I'm done with it. God, I'm done with the music that's sensual in my life. I know that's like not popular to say, but if there's sensual music in your life, it's causing thoughts in your mind and it's driving those passions and you need to get rid of it. It's actually getting serious about, God, you are the one thing I want. That's repentance, when you turn. And when you turn, it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Opposes the proud. You're at arm's length. But when you turn, what do you get? You get grace to the humble. Humility is not like thinking like, oh, I'm just a horrible person. Humility is recognizing, God, I am under you. I'm under your authority. God, I wouldn't be anywhere without you, God. It's the grace of God that I'm in this room right now, hearing your word. It's the grace of God that you would speak to me, God. It's the grace of God that you would want to bless me. Thank you. And God, I put your authority as the top authority in my life. When you do that, you get grace. So repent. Number 3, receive grace. That's the best part, isn't it? Grace. Unmerited favor. The grace of God is what makes you go, okay, So if I really humble myself before the Lord, Brandon, then I get favor? Yeah. That's all it takes, literally, is a recognition, a repentance, a humility, you get grace. What's grace look like? Oh, it looks like God, instead of opposing you, he starts fighting your battles with you. What's grace look like? Grace is like, oh God, I'm obsessed with this. Lord, change my heart. Okay. Lord, I can't do this on my own. I know. Grace. Lord, but I have a lot of, Lord, broken things behind me because of how I've been living. Oh, I'll help you with that. Grace. The way up is down in the kingdom. But it starts as you say, God, I'm gonna humble myself. I'm gonna repent. I'm gonna turn to you. That's the only way you get grace. It's not a thought. It's not a hope. It's not a wish. It's a humility. I'm setting down me, my pride, my priorities, and I'm looking to you and making you the most important, where you belong anyway, Lord. That's when grace comes into your life.